As I spoke a little while ago making announcements, I talked about the wedding, the marriage retreat next week. I did want to say, if you are signed up, preparing to go, let me know that. Just send me an email this week. Let me know that you are planning to be there so Kim and I can look for you and connect with you. As many of you know, Dr. Richard Blackaby has spoken here before, I want to say about 9 years ago or so, but he's spoken here, and he and I and Kim and his wife Lisa know one another from our days in Texas. You will be blessed by his message and what he's going to say at the marriage retreat, as well as what he'll say here next Sunday morning. So also be in prayer for him in that. We have been in a message series, and continue this message series, called Decisions That Shape Your Life, Seeing Your Plans from God's Perspective. And in this series, we are focusing on those undergirding decisions we make, the ones that, the pillars that hold up our other decisions. Because we tend to think of decisions as being task-oriented. That is, I need to do this and I need to do that. But our decision-making day by day needs a big-picture perspective, and that's what we're talking about in this series. Five principles that give us that big-picture perspective, help us see our decisions from God's point of view, and also help us line up with God and what He's doing in our lives so that those individual decisions reflect God's plan for our lives. We've already looked at the principle of humility, a reminder that we need to be humble when we make decisions because we're not in charge of everything happening, even in our own lives. God is ultimately in charge, and God can change our plans if it's in keeping with His will. That's what we learned from the principle of humility. Last week, we saw the principle of accountability, the reminder that one day we will stand before God, and every decision we make, we are accountable to God for that decision. And by God's grace and kindness, He guides us into decision-making that lines up with His will. But we still make the decisions. We still make the choices. God gives us that free will to do that. It's a wonderful gift, free will is, and it's intended to help us stay lined up with God's will. So this morning, the third principle we're looking at is the principle of intentionality. We're looking at the principle of intentionality, which basically means when we are intentional in our decisions and intentionally line those decisions up, align them with God's will, we follow God's plan. The principle of intentionality teaches us and reminds us to align our decisions with God's plan and to work in concert with Him. In that wonderful gift of free will, sometimes we make decisions that take us away from God. But God always brings us back. He calls us back to Him. And the reason these principles are so important, especially intentionality, intentionally aligning with God's will and what God says, the reason it's so important is because God knows what we do not know. And God sees what we do not see. In our culture today, and by our own sinful nature, we're often tempted and told to make decisions based on our feelings and our preferences. How we feel, what we think, what we prefer today. And so we make a lot of our decisions in the moment, what feels good to us. But the Bible teaches that when we align our decisions intentionally with God's will, we're looking at the long-term effect because God knows what we do not know. Let me give you a bit of an illustration from my childhood. When I was a teenager, I had a dog named Daniel. And Daniel was a mixed breed. He was part German Shepherd and part Labrador Retriever. So Daniel loved to fetch and could swim like a fish. And he was also loyal and brave and extremely obedient. He was a great dog. And a lot of times in the evening when I would come home from school or in the summertime, in the evening, I would take Daniel for a walk in the woods behind our community. Now, if you're familiar at all with Winston-Salem, it's where I grew up. If you're familiar at all with there, you know where Haynes Mall is. Well, I'm talking about the days before when Haynes Mall was there, but all the development around it and below it was not there. All the medical facilities, Best Buy, Barnes & Noble, the restaurants, Haynes Mall Boulevard, this is before all of that. So all of that was woods, and some of it was farmland. Some of it was farmland. So I would walk him down. There was a path that led down through the woods, and it would empty out into the area that's actually now Haynes Mall Boulevard. It would empty out into that area, and we would have a great time walking up and down through there. And he was such a good dog, he would always stay within earshot, and I would let him off the leash, and he would run around. I could see him, he could see me. If I called him, he would always come back, and then we would change directions. And we did this, dozens of times. And then one evening, I was down in the woods, and I was walking Daniel, and he was off the leash and chasing that squirrel and seeing that rabbit and just having a great time. And I would call him back, and we'd go a different direction. And I went down to that long, big area that's now Haynes Mall Boulevard, and I turned one direction and suddenly realized that Daniel was not with me and that I could not see him. So I called him, no response. Called him again, a little louder, no response. So I went back in the direction where I had seen him last, and I came upon a cow pasture with a barbed wire fence around it, and Daniel was out in the middle of the cow pasture enjoying himself immensely, if you follow me, and getting smellier and messier by the minute. So I'm on the other side of some farmer's cow pasture on this barbed wire fence, and I see my dog out there having the time of his life, and I call him back, and when I first call him, the first time, and he sees me, he looks up, and there's that expression on his face. Do I obey? Or do I keep doing my thing? And he decided in that second to keep doing his thing. And I called him a little louder, and I called him a little more, and eventually obedience got the best of him, and he came running back to the barbed wire fence and joined me on the other side. Now, what Daniel did not know is while he was out there having fun and enjoying himself, a bull had seen him. He had captured the attention of a bull that was on a rise some distance away. And this is the, I don't know how to describe this bull, but the best way is when God created bulls, this is what he was thinking about. And the bull saw Daniel, a stranger in his pasture, and started making his way first at a walk and then at a bit of a trot, and was developing a lope in Daniel's direction. Daniel's completely oblivious to all of this, but I was not. I could see what he did not see, at least yet, and knew what he did not yet know. But when he joined me on the other side of the fence, the bull just stopped where he was and watched us leave. The rest of the story involves a really long, slow walk and a lot of soap and water. And the point is obvious. God sees what we do not see, knows what we do not know. He gives us the freedom to live within the perimeters of our decision-making and his plan. That's the way he designed us. But when we say, I want to indulge myself, I prefer my feelings, I want to engage my preferences, we depart from God's plan for us, and we start making decisions that no longer align with what he wants and his will. The key to all of this is to understand we can be intentional in following God or intentional in leaving and departing from his will. We make the choice because God gave us that choice. Even more important is to understand that you and I never drift accidentally into God's will. We have to choose God's will. We have to choose God's way. We have to intentionally align our decisions with God's plan for us. And that's what we mean by the principle of intentionality. And when we practice the principle of intentionality, we align ourselves with God's plan for us. And our decisions, the decisions that shape our lives, line up with God's plan for our lives. If you have your Bible with you, find with me the Old Testament book of Jeremiah. The Old Testament book of Jeremiah. While you're turning there, you may not be terribly familiar with Jeremiah. It's one of the larger Old Testament books. Jeremiah is a prophet of God in the 5th century B.C., preaching to God's people who have departed from God's ways. And they've departed from God's ways in favor of choosing their own preferences and flashy religions around them. They want to do what they want to do. And God is calling them back before judgment comes. Ultimately, judgment did come. The nation of Babylon came into the land in the 5th century and destroyed much of the land and the people and took a lot of them into as prisoners into exile in Babylon. Jeremiah is preaching before that happens. And he is warning the people of God to come back to God's intention, God's design for them. They have chosen to depart, but they can choose to come back. And we're interested in just one verse this morning, Jeremiah chapter 6 and verse 16. Jeremiah 6, verse 16. Because it captures all of what God is talking about, and especially the power of this principle of intentionality and choosing what God wants us to do. Jeremiah 6, verse 16. The Bible says, "This is what the Lord says, stand by the roadways and look. Ask about the ancient paths. Which is the way to what is good? Then take it and find rest for yourselves." But they protested, "We won't." Just stop right there. The opening phrase, "This is what the Lord says," tunes us in right away to the fact that we're going to hear God's perspective. We're going to learn something from God, and we're going to get to see how God sees our lives. And for the people of Israel, the impact of choosing their own preferences, their own feelings, and the flash and flare of the culture around them, rather than choosing what God wants. So this is what the Lord says means this is God talking to us. And God has preserved this for us as well in the 21st century so we can learn the same principle, the principle of intentionality, how to intentionally choose God's will and line our decisions up with His plans for us. The verses we just read circulate around verbs, God's commands and verbs, telling the people of God how to get back to Him. How to start making decisions again, not based on preference or feelings or the flash and flare of the culture, but how to get back to Him and start again following His plans intentionally and choosing His way. And those verbs are right there in front of us. Stand and look. Ask. Take it. Those are verbs that God says, you do these things. This is how you get back in line with My will. And it's important that we say and that we understand that even as believers, who even if we have every desire to follow God's plan, often we drift away from it. We have to choose to come back to it. And if you find yourself in that position this morning, understand God is waiting for you to come back. God is calling you back. God wants you back. And God wants you to get your decisions, your way of life back in line with His will and His plan so He can give you freedom to enjoy the pleasure and the peace and the power of His working in your life. While you're away from God, you don't experience that, so He wants you to come back. But we have to choose to come back to Him. How do we practice the principle of intentionality? For a few minutes, that's what I want us to look at from this verse this morning, how to practice the principle of intentionality. How do you do that? The first thing to do is to assess your present situation. To assess your present situation. God says, stand by the roadways and look. And God draws a picture, a metaphor of us standing in a path or in a roadway that there are different directions that diverge out from that, different roadways. And we're looking at those. And God says to stand and look. Now the phrase translated stand means stop and stand still. Stop moving. Because that's largely one of our problems. We are hustling. We are trying to move fast. We want to get what we want. We want to do what we want to do. We don't stop and stand and listen to God and pay attention. If we want to get back on His path, you have to pause. You have to stop. And God says stop and stand still. And then He says, look at the roadways, look at the path ahead. The term translated look means to see deeply or perceive. In other words, God is saying, stop where you are and pay attention to where you're going. If you keep going the direction you're going, nothing's going to change. When we stop and we perceive and we evaluate and we assess where we are, two important things happen. One is it helps us realize how we got there. Like the people of God of Jeremiah's day, many times we find ourselves away from where God wants us to be. How do we change that? First, we have to know how we got there. What decisions did we make that got us out of alignment with God's will? What decisions did we make that put us in a bad situation? How did we get here? And then second, when we pause and take a good look at the roadway and where we are, and where we're going, we recognize this needs to change. This needs to change. And that's God's first call. The first thing to do to practice the principle of intentionality is assess the present situation. Let God lead you. Take a hard look at your life, at your decisions, at what you're doing. Is this where you want to be? Is this where God wants you to be? Those decisions that you are making, do they line up with God's will or just your feelings and your preferences and your self-indulgence? What is it that God wants to do? What do you see when you stand still in the roadway? You see where you've been, you see how you got here, and you see where you're going. What do you see? Often I like to ask people a simple question, and I ask myself this question frequently. 5 years from now, who will you be? And how will you get there? Think about that. 5 years from now, who will you be? And how will you get there? It's an important question. Because sometimes we think we're going to drift into change. We'll accidentally change and things will get better. But that's not what the Bible teaches. The Bible teaches we see the roadway ahead and we ask ourselves a question. Is this who I want to be 2 years from now, 3 years from now, 5 years from now? If what I am doing I do not like, if the decisions I'm making are bad decisions, if the way I got here I don't want to do this again, then why am I still doing it? How is it going to be different 5 years from now if I'm still doing the same thing? If you're still practicing the same financial management you're practicing now, what's it going to look like 5 years from now? If your marriage is still going the direction it's going now and you're doing what you're doing in your marriage, what's it going to look like 5 years from now? If God's Word and Scripture is designed to shape you to be more like Christ, if you keep doing what you're doing now with the Bible and prayer, what's it going to look like 5 years from now? How you're raising your children, if you keep raising your children the way you're raising them now, what's it going to look like 5 years from now? Stand in the roadway, stop and look and ask yourself, what needs to change? What needs to change? Assess the present situation. Then second, ask God which way to go. Ask God which way to go. God says, ask for the ancient ways. Ask about the ancient paths. Quote, he said, this is how to ask, which is the way to what is good? Unquote. In other words, he's telling the people, this is what you need to ask. Ask about the ancient ways, then ask which way is good. Because God's way is always good and it's always right. Now, we might stumble over the idea of the ancient ways because in our culture especially, we are captivated by everything new. Everything flashy, everything new. Believe it or not, that's nothing new. Human beings, even since Jeremiah's day and before, were captivated by all things new. So they assumed whatever was flashy was the best way to go. Whatever made them feel better was the best decision to make. Whatever they preferred in life would be the right decision. But God says, the people of God, he says to the people of Jeremiah's day, the people of God before you didn't live that way. How did they live? Well, they lived by God's word. Because God's word, what God says in the Bible, is always good and it's always right. Now, this is a very simple truth, but remarkably profound. If we listen to God and his word is always true, it's always right, and it always leads to a good decision. Now, don't read that to mean the decision we always want. But the good decision, the right decision, the decision that God wants us to take. The ancient paths means not something decrepit and old, but something firm and dependable. Again, the image, standing at the crossroads, ask about the ancient paths. Ask about the decisions your forefathers made, he tells the people of God. And to us, he would say, ask about what is true and what is right and what is always absolute. What's he talking about? He's talking about his word. The word of God, the Bible itself, is universal and transcends generations. The culture changes constantly. Our values and our culture change. Whatever, there's always something new, always something flashy. There's always something new. But God never changes. And His Word, the ancient path of the Word of God, transcends all generations and is universally true and good and right in every generation. See, God is saying to the people of God, your biggest problem about what comes next is you're not asking God what comes next. You're not asking God and getting into His Word and asking Him which way to go. What should I do? And it's true, we in our generation, as much as any generation, have neglected the Bible, but more and more we're doing it. And it's very important to understand, you will not know God's way if you do not know God's Word. It's just that simple. Because what happens is, if we ignore the Scriptures, we don't study the Word of God, but we ask God what are we supposed to do, even if God is speaking to our hearts, it needs to line up with His Word, but often we just choose what we think makes us feel good. God must want me to do this because it'll make me feel better. But God knows what we do not know. He sees what we do not see. What truth is universal? What truth transcends generations? What truth is absolutely dependable? What way is always good and right and true? It's what the Bible says. It's what the Bible says. This also means that when we're making decisions, task-oriented decisions, and our tendency, and because it is, our tendency is to sit down, even if you're into Scripture, if you get into the Bible, good for you, you should. But your tendency, and mine too, many people, is sit down and say, what does God want me to do? Don't ask that question until you ask another question. Get with the Bible, get in prayer, and ask God first, God, what do you want all of us to do? See, God has already revealed His will on so many things in the Scriptures. And He tells all of us what He wants us to do. Many examples I could give you, but here's just a few. God, what do you want me to do with my money? Do you want me to tithe? You don't need to ask that question. He's already said yes. Do you want me to be generous? Do you want me to be faithful? God, do you want me to be faithful to my spouse? You don't need to ask that question. He's already given the answer. See? God, do you want me to grow in character? Do you want me to be like Christ? Do you want me to love my neighbor? Do you want us to love one another? God, do you want me to serve in ministry? God, do you want me to reach out to my neighbors? You don't need to ask those questions. He's already told us in Scripture what He wants us to do. And in many cases, what He doesn't want us to do. So what about me personally? Does that mean ignore the Scripture? Of course not. You get with the Bible, say, God, I'm working through this issue, working through this decision, working through this problem. Lead me in Your Word to Your universal truth. And God often will reveal principles to apply to your life, principles in Scripture. We're doing that right now, the principle of intentionality. Because God, we know God gives us free will, the Scripture teaches that, so we know we can apply intentional decision-making to line up with God's Word. The key, of course, is knowing the Scripture, the ancient path, what God has already said, the good way, the true way, the right way, is knowing the Bible and knowing Scripture. This is tragically on the decline all across American culture. 2016, a study was published called the American Bible Study on how Americans view the Bible. The good news is the study found that 62% of people that live around a church want to know more about the Bible. They want to know more about the Bible. And 87% of Christians who go to church, or people who go to church, 87%, almost, I mean, close to 100%, said they would like to understand the Bible better. That's good news. But the flip side of that is the same study and similar studies found we're not reading our Bibles. We want to know the Bible better, we want to learn it more, but we're not reading it, we're not studying it. In the same time frame, it found that the majority of Americans are not reading their Bible. Every generation, 20% fewer people are reading their Bible. That's roughly 700 people a day in America stop reading their Bible. The study said by 2040, folks, just 20 years from now, 2040, two-thirds of Americans will have no direct relationship with the Bible. Never read it, no emotional attachment, don't carry it, may not even own one. Two-thirds of Americans. Given the number of Christians there are in America, that includes a lot of Christians, or at least professing Christians. No relationship to the Bible at all. How can you possibly, how can I possibly know what God wants me to do, what path He wants me to take, if I don't bother asking? Reading His Word, the ancient truth is always true. You don't have to wonder, is it going to be true for me? If it's true for my grandparents, true for my mom and dad? Yes, it's universally transcendent. It is always right, always true, and always good, because that's what God wants. Assess the present situation. How'd you get here, and what needs to change? Ask God which way to go. How do you ask Him? You get into His Word. You get into prayer. You let Him lead you in that decision. And then third, act on what God says. Act on what God says. It's interesting, even the Bible doesn't take for granted that once we know what God wants us to do, after we've asked Him, that we'll do it. The Bible doesn't take that for granted. Instead, God goes ahead and says, take it. That is, do it. Take that path. When you know the right path, the good path, the direction to go, God says through Jeremiah, then take that path and you will find rest for yourselves. You will find rest for yourselves, God says. The term translated take it or take that path means walk in it. And in the vernacular of the Bible, that means adjust a lifestyle to it. If you're going to come back to God, if you've been away from Him making decisions on your own, that means your lifestyle reflects that. So if you want to come back to God and start making decisions that intentionally align with His will for you, decide that your lifestyle will show it. Align yourself to God's Word. Walk in it. Walk that way. Adjust your lifestyle and your life to what God wants and what He wants to do in your life. And the end result of that is, you will find rest for yourselves. That's a grand sweeping way of God saying you'll stop all the frustration, all the confusion, all the distraction, all the worry of, am I making the right decision? Am I doing the right thing? That stops because you're trusting God and you're trusting His Word. And you're back on the path that you know and He knows you need to be on. That phrase sounds familiar, doesn't it? You will find rest for yourselves. Or it should sound familiar, because it's the same God in Matthew chapter 11, Jesus Christ, who says nearly the same thing. Matthew chapter 11, verse 28. Come to me, all of you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take up my yoke and learn from me, because I am lowly and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. Well, that sounds familiar. See, God keeps calling us back to Him. God keeps calling us to learn the right way from Him, to learn from His Word, to find rest in His presence. Stop being frustrated and confused about our decisions and start listening to Him. To practice the principle of intentionality and intentionally align ourselves with God's will for us. If we want to know God's will, we know God's Word. And if we know God's Word, we know what's true, what's right, and what's good. Maybe God is calling you back. You realize this morning you've been making decisions on your own, by preference, by emotion, by what you want to get out of life, and not asking God and not following God in the path that He has for you. God is calling you to pause, to ask Him which way to go, and to come back to Him. So what happens if you do that? Well, God's waiting for you. And God is waiting for you to come back to Him. God is waiting for you so He can guide you. He can show you grace. He can forgive you. He wants you to live the life He created you to live. But you only do that in Christ. And you only do that by coming back to Him. Meeting Him at the crossroads you are. those crossroads you're at now, and God will receive you. Sadly, as God calls out to the people in Jeremiah's day, as he says, this is what you need to do, and when I tell you which way to go, take it, and you will find rest for yourselves, how do they respond? The Bible says they protested, no, we won't do it. God has made it clear. He loves you. His way is the right way. His word is true. It's good. It's absolute. He's calling you back to make that decision, to come back to Him, to follow His word. He's calling you to whatever decision you're confronted with right now, to ask Him, to listen to Him, to follow His word. But you and I can make a choice, and we can choose to say, no, I won't do it. I'll go my way. Do what I feel is good. Follow my preferences. So what does God do in that case? Does He abandon us? No. He still loves us. Even when we refuse His way, God still loves us and still calls us home. Have you wondered how Queen Elizabeth feels these days? Yeah. Queen Elizabeth, at 25 years old, 68 years ago, she was on vacation when her father died, and she received word that she was to come home, have her coronation, and be installed as the Queen of England. 25 years old, 68 years ago, everything changed. For 68 years, she has served her country faithfully. Even though she's been criticized, ridiculed, had family members turn against her, she's done what she was supposed to do. Hasn't been comfortable. And then her grandson and his wife say, nah, we're not doing this anymore. We want to go our own way. Now, we still want the title, and we'd really like to have the money. But we're going to cut ourselves loose from being, as the monarchy calls it, senior royal officials. That is, they don't have to any longer act in the capacity of royals in the UK. And they're in Canada now, setting up home in Canada. Don't you wonder how she must feel? And don't you wonder how God feels and how He looks at our lives when He says, I've got a good and right way for you. And we say, nah, no thanks. I'm going to do my own thing. I'm sure I know better than you do how to live my life and how to make decisions. We have absolutely no idea if Harry can ever come home. We really don't. But we do know, because God has said when we do that to Him, we can come home. We can come back to Christ. We can come back to God. We can come back to the clearly right way of living. And maybe that's what God is calling you to do today. Would you bow your heads? Just bow your heads and close your eyes. In a moment, I'm going to pray for us, and I'm going to invite you to respond to the Lord in just a moment. But with heads bowed and eyes closed, I want you to consider what God is saying to you, what God is speaking to your heart this morning, what path you are on, how you've been making your decisions, and if God is calling you to intentionally come back to Him. And it could be you've been living in fellowship and right relationship with God, but there's a decision you're confronted with. God is reminding you to get into His Word, to get with Him in prayer, and let Him lead you in that decision. Could be God is calling you to recommit your life to Christ today, to start over and start fresh with Him. It could be that God is calling you to come to Christ for the very first time. You've never trusted Him as your Savior. Instead, you've been saying, no, I won't do that. I'll go to church. I'll make my plans, but I won't take that step of faith. But you know God is calling you to take that step of faith. God is calling you back to Him. In a moment, I'm going to pray for us, and then we're going to sing. And as we're singing, I want to invite you to respond to the Lord this morning, to come to the altar and pray and unburden yourself and recommit yourself to Him. I want to invite you to come forward here where I am, because I'll pray with you and I'll help you with what decisions you have on your heart today, especially to trust Christ as your Savior. Heavenly Father, God, you speak to our hearts this morning. You're showing us, God, where we are at the crossroads, what we need to change, what we need to do. God, I pray today you would help us to make those intentional decisions, to align ourselves with your way, your path, what you want in our lives. Father, for that one who's been away from you, I pray they'd come back to you today. For that one who's never trusted Christ as their Savior, I pray today would be the day, God, they trust Jesus Christ to forgive them of their sins, give them a home in heaven, and put them on the path, God, that you've designed for them. For that one who needs to take that step of commitment to join fellowship with this church, to be baptized, God, to follow through in that faith commitment that you're calling them to, I pray today would be the day, God, that we would not hold back, but we would do, God, what you're calling us to do today. Father, in this time of response, I pray the Holy Spirit of God would move in our midst and bring us back to you. And it's in Jesus' name we pray.